high around 95, maybe 96. Lows the rest of the week will be in the low 70s. At this moment, there is no rain in the forecast through the weekend. Checking temperatures and conditions throughout the two-state region at this hour. A wide range of temperatures, just to give you a sense of the variation. In Chicago, low point is 71 degrees under mostly clear skies. Cairo, Illinois, right now reporting partly cloudy skies, 95 degrees. In Indiana, temperatures ranging from 70 in Gary, Indiana, to 91 in Evansville. At Willard Airport, clear skies, 79 degrees, winds out of the northeast at 15 miles per hour, occasionally gusting to 24 miles per hour. The humidity is 28% and the barometric pressure 30.01 inches and holding steady. And outside our studios here in Urbana, it's 81 degrees. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. I'm Craig Cohen. As summer arrives, students leave, the state fiscal year ends, and some faculty and staff retire at Illinois' community colleges and state universities. This summer, there are more retirees than usual. Illinois Public Media's Jim Meadows explains why.
Mary Ellen O'Shaughnessy was going to retire next year from her job as assistant dean in the University of Illinois College of Fine and Applied Arts. But she says staffing is slim right now and there's a new dean coming in.
And I thought it would be good to stay one more year, get the new dean in, let that dean look around and see how they want to deploy the resources, and then I would leave. But with all the uncertainty in Springfield, and the fact my retirement is based on money purchase, I really felt to protect my own self-interest, I had to retire now.
More on the uncertainty in Springfield in a bit, but first, what's money purchase? It's one of two formulas used by the State University Retirement System, or SERS, to help determine how much money folks like O'Shaughnessy receive when they retire. The first general formula factors in age, years of service, and average earnings. But the money purchase formula considers age and the level of pension contributions from both employee and the state, all plugged into an actuarial formula that's recalculated every few years according to changing economic and demographic data. Angie Lieb is in charge of member services at SERS. She says the payout from the money purchase factor has declined over the years with every recalculation. For SERS' latest recalculation, which takes effect July 2nd, the payout dropped a lot, because employees are retiring earlier and living longer.
If we did a calculation on July 1st for someone using the current factors, and then we did the calculation on July 2nd using the new factors, the difference in their benefit is about 7 or 8% on average.
That drop means lower pension benefits for retirees. Still, Lieb says the money purchase formula provides the best deal for nearly two-thirds of SERS retirees. But a state university employee can improve his or her money purchase factor if they keep working and paying into SERS for at least another couple of years. So says law professor Richard Kaplan. He's studied the issue as a member of the Benefits Committee at the university's Academic Senate.
If they were going to be retiring more than a year from now anyway, then this is probably not that big a factor. But if they're at the decision point that it's either this year or next year, those are the only two realistic choices, they will probably opt for the current year.
That was O'Shaughnessy's decision, but she says the decline was not what made up her mind. Instead, it was Governor Pat Quinn's proposals for pension reform, proposals that are still under debate in Springfield.
Quinn had his, I think it was like April 21st, had his press conference where he started announcing all these changes.
We're going to be asking our employees to increase their contributions by 3%. We're going to reduce the cost of living.
So I sat down that weekend and really thought, oh my gosh, this is not looking good. So on Monday, I decided I was going to retire.
O'Shaughnessy seems to have company. SERS doesn't have exact figures yet, but says retirements for June and for July 1st, the last day of the fiscal year, are up sharply. A survey conducted by SERS found that the money purchase factor and fears of pension reform were the first and third most common reasons given by members for considering retirement. For the three-campus University of Illinois system, retirements for the fiscal year topped 1,000 as of June 18th, a 38% increase from the year before. On the Urbana campus alone, retirements have gone up 46%. Those increases look smaller when compared to the university's total workforce of 28,000. But Maureen Parks, the U of I's associate vice president in charge of human resources, says they've been preparing for more retirements ever since the lower money purchase factor was announced last year.
So in many cases, units and departments have been preparing for this. Certainly losing a key person, someone who has responsibilities and critical knowledge, is hard, no matter how long you've prepared for it.
Mary Ellen O'Shaughnessy says she's seeing more retirement parties on the Urbana campus than ever before, and she worries about the impact of so many retirements at once on the institutional memory at the University of Illinois.
That, I think, is the crucial question, is to see some of the people that are leaving that are just quality people. They've been here a long time. They hold very responsible positions. And poof, they're gone.
I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Public Media.
To read a fact sheet and watch videos from CSRS about the change in the money purchase factor, just visit our website, will.illinois.edu. One of the fastest growing segments of the charter school movement is online charter schools. For-profit company K-12 Inc. runs online charters in more than two dozen states and wants to expand to the state of North Carolina. But it's run into some opposition from public school districts there, which say the company will siphon off students and funding from their schools. Dave DeWitt of North Carolina Public Radio reports.
Melissa Williams is getting ahead of her high school classmates. She's sitting at her family computer, tucked into a corner of the living room, taking online classes.
You just log in here, and it shows all your courses right here. This is the one I'm enrolled in right now.
Melissa is taking an SAT prep class for credit, and last year took Latin, honors English, and Spanish.
I really liked it. I liked being able to work at my own pace and sitting in my pajamas at home working on it. That was, of course, a good perk.
Melissa is taking these online courses through a program offered by the state of North Carolina. But next year, she and other students could have another option. The North Carolina Virtual Academy is a proposed full-time online charter school that would serve students in kindergarten through high school. K-12 already operates schools like these in 29 states. The company has enough students enrolled that it would be the 30th largest school district in the country. Jeff Kwiatkowski is K-12's spokesman.
What parents really want is the ability to have options and choices.
If a student like Melissa enrolls in the virtual academy, the $7,000 or so of per pupil funding her home district gets from local, state, and federal sources would go to K-12. And that has sparked debates at local school boards across the state. And there's something else some school board members are upset about. Susan Evans is on the school board in Wake County.
This charter school obtained their approval through an improper process that usurped the proper channels, and because of that, I think it's appropriate for us to get involved.
Earlier this year, the State Board of Education refused to consider the online charter application for this fall, saying it wanted to look more closely at the funding model. But K-12 found a never-before-used part of the charter school law that allowed it to go straight to a school district for initial approval. So the company approached the Cabarrus County School Board, a relatively small district north of Charlotte. The board said yes, and in return, the district would get 4% of the per-pupil revenues K-12 earns from each student. State School Board Chair Bill Harrison says the deal seems a little too sweet.
I call it a kickback. The Cabarrus County School Board is going to generate some revenue from its sister school boards across the state.
Well, I don't think it's a kickback. I think that there would be obviously coming from the opposition.
Cabarrus County School Board Chair Lynn Hsu says his board simply made the best financial decision it could.
If any of the other school districts had been presented the things that we were presented and they had an opportunity to benefit from this financially, I feel like any of the rest of them would have done it anyway.
But those districts didn't. And now, 88 of the 115 school boards in the state have joined the legal fight. Meanwhile, K-12 is aggressively pursuing students to fill the school it hopes to open in the fall with TV and radio ads.
K-12 delivers an award-winning curriculum that makes learning come alive. Online lessons, virtual classrooms, interactive games and videos, plus books and hands-on learning.
K-12 builds its schools entirely online, no bricks and no mortar. The company says it still deserves a full allotment of per-pupil funding because it offers enhanced curriculum and technology. But even its partner in North Carolina, Cabarrus County School Board Chair Lynn Hsu, wonders how fair the funding model is.
If they get the kind of money with no brick buildings and all the things that we provide, if they get all of that money and don't provide those things, then they should be, we need to own stock in it, I think.
The fate of the North Carolina Virtual Academy will be decided today when the case goes before the North Carolina Superior Court. For NPR News, I'm Dave DeWitt in Durham, North Carolina.
Thanks for making it a great fundraising year. We just wrapped up a terrific fund drive for WILO Radio, and we're hoping to raise as much, maybe even a little more than last year's terrific result by the end of our fiscal year on June 30th. You can check out our fundraising progress on our homepage, will.illinois.edu, and make a gift to make next year's programs dazzle by clicking on the blue support bar, or call 217-244-9455.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday, the 25th of June, 2012. It's the birthday of George Orwell, born in London, 1903. Eric Blair was his name, most famous for his novels Animal Farm and 1984 in the late 40s. Both books published the last years of his life when he was very ill, had suffered personal tragedy. In late 1944, Orwell and his wife adopted an infant named Richard. 4 months later, she went in for a hysterectomy. She died under anesthesia. Orwell, devastated, tried to raise his infant son alone, hired a housekeeper, lived in a small, bleak apartment in London. He had written for the newspaper The Observer for several years. The publisher, David Astor, had a family estate on a remote Scottish island, Jura, and Astor offered to let Orwell stay there. So Orwell did. He had a cot, some pots and pans, not much more, lived on oatcakes and porridge and whatever he could catch hunting or fishing. It was a house without electricity, and the next winter was one of the coldest ever in Britain. He had a peat stove, used kerosene lamps, lived there with the baby, chain-smoking, writing his new novel called The Last Man in Europe. He was diagnosed with tuberculosis. His health deteriorated. His sister Avril moved in to cook meals and to help out. He refused to go to a doctor. By that winter, he was so sick, he was confined to his bed. He kept on writing. They put him on a new drug. He lost his hair. He got throat ulcers. In March of 1948, Orwell was in the hospital when his publisher sent him a letter, said he needed the book by the end of the year. So Orwell devoted himself to writing, though he could barely sit upright, finished the book by December, and changed the title from The Last Man in Europe to 1984.